Our scripture reading tonight is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20. Exodus, chapter 20. And we'll read verse 12 in just a moment. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together. And as I said, look there at verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Now, as we continue our study on the Ten Commandments, you'll remember that the first four commandments deal with our responsibilities to God. The first concern the object of our worship, God alone. The second, the method of our worship, in spirit and in truth, not in images. And the third concerned the attitude of our worship with a reverence for the things of God and the name of God. And the fourth, the observance of our worship. And as we discussed last Wednesday, there's a time to work and there's a time to worship. And some people only work and never worship, and some worship and never work. But the Bible teaches us, 6 days shalt thou do all thy work, but the seventh is the day of worship for God. And God deserves our worship, and you'll be much better off personally. You make your time for work and then you make your time for worship and keep to it religiously. That's not a bad word. Now, the last six commandments deal with our responsibilities to humanity. Now, scholars have long debated whether the two stone tablets had five commandments on each tablet or four on one and six on the other. But like many debates, it's just going to have to be left alone because we don't know how many were on each of the tablets. I do believe that the fifth commandment definitely links the first four with the last five. Our first human relationship is with our parents. Before we got married, before we had any friends, before we met a teacher, we had parents. We were born to someone. God gave us to our parents and gave our parents to us. And you might think, well, I got short-ended on that deal, but nevertheless, that's how God chose to send you into the world, was through your parents. Now, before we understood any concepts concerning God, we were learning from our parents. Blessed is the child who sees God in his father and his mother. Blessed is the child whose parents reflect godliness and Christ-likeness and genuine spirituality, so that when a child learns about God, they can say, I've already seen those kind of characteristics in my parents. The relationship we have with our parents is our first relationship, and a vital one, an important one, because that one relationship will affect your entire life for good or bad. Some people, it takes their whole life to get over their upbringing. And sometimes it takes the grace of God, an act of a miraculous work in their hearts. But other times, good parenting sets their child on a good course that lasts their entire lifetime. They train up a child in the way it should go. Now, I believe that the health and well-being of a society rests on the health and well-being of the family. And the foundations of the family are the relationships between husband and wife and parents and children. One reason I believe we're in a mess in America today is because those two relationships in particular lie in shambles. Marriage is in shambles, and the parent-child relationship is in shambles. Just walk through society. Walk through Walmart. Go to a ball game. Look at what kids post on Facebook and Twitter. I mean, the way that young people treat their parents, the disrespectful way that they talk to them, the bad attitude they show when they're in their company, the rebellious spirit, is all evidence of a parent-child relationship that is in shambles. And the sad thing is that people think it's normal. Well, all teenagers are that way. Well, all teenagers that have been let to be that way are that way. But not all teenagers are that way. Well, it's just a phase they go through. Or it could be their character being set in stone, and that's how they're going to be the rest of their life. So I don't think we ought to just, as parents, follow the path of least resistance and say, well, that's just how it is. But rather, we should embrace the Word of God and practice what it teaches because it is important that we restore the parent-child relationship. I cannot imagine my kids talking to me the way I've heard teenagers and pre-teenagers and even little children talk to their parents in public. But families are chaotic these days. The children run the homes and teenagers run the homes. Nobody listens to their parents. No one listens to their grandparents. Kids are respectful and disobedient. And many young adults, they demand all kinds of respect for themselves, but they give none to anyone else. I'm all for young adults. I want them to have every opportunity to succeed in America. But I've heard some, and I don't mean to brand all young adults. We shouldn't do that any more than we should brand all old adults. But I've heard some young adults say, well, if my parents want my respect, they have to earn it. And that child is 18 years old, and their biggest accomplishment is getting through high school, and you can even graduate high school without being able to read these days. And their parents have at least gone another 20 years past them, and yet they say, you've got to earn my respect. How about this young person? How about you earn my respect? I'm 40 years old. I've been on my own since I was 18. I've worked jobs, and I've paid bills, and I've bought houses, and I've gone to college, and I've done things with my life. How about you earn respect for me? Instead of going around through life demanding that everyone else respect you before you've done much. I believe you ought to be respectful to everybody, but this attitude of entitlement and here I am and everyone should listen to me and everyone should adore me and everyone should follow me and everyone should be centered around me. And it's destroying our homes and destroying our families. And it starts when they're about 4 years old and the whole household revolves around them. Well, Over all of this family confusion is an all-wise God who placed this moral obligation on mankind. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land. Now tonight I want to give us five questions we should answer concerning the fifth commandment. Number one, what is the obligation presented? What is the obligation presented? Well, the answer is, I am obligated to honor my father and my mother. Now, next to being right with God is being right with your father and mother. Now, think about this for a second. If you were writing the Ten Commandments, would you have made this number five? I mean, in the next few weeks, we're getting into some heavy stuff like murder and adultery and stealing and coveting other people's stuff and lying about them, bearing false witness. How many of us would put murder ahead of honoring our parents or put adultery ahead of honoring our parents? Many of us might have put that as number 10 because really it's not a very high priority in many Christians' lives to actually honor their parents. And yet when God got through with the first four dealing with Himself and deals with the first human commandment, He tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Now, this is a positive commandment telling me to do something. I cannot be passive and obey this commandment. It's not simply not doing something bad. I have to proactively do something good. The word honor is a verb. And Webster's 1828 dictionary defines honor as to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, and perform relative duties to. Now, some of you may already be thinking, Pastor, what about parents who don't deserve any of those things? We're going to get to that in a few minutes, so don't shut me out. We're talking about what this commandment says. And this commandment tells us that parents are to be actively and purposefully treated with reverence, respect, deference, and submission, and that we are to perform our duties to them as their children. This is an important commandment. God places it over all of mankind for all time. Let's look at a few other verses to see kind of the scope of what God is saying. Exodus 21. A few other verses out of the law of Moses. Exodus 21 and verse number 15. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. You ever seen a child hit their parent? I have. I've seen children throw tantrums. I've seen teenagers throw tantrums and hit their mother. You know what the Old Testament punishment was for that? Take them out and stone them. But that wouldn't happen again. What happened to go to school the next day? What happened to Jehoshaphat? Man, he hit his mom. They took him out and stoned him. Ooh. Guess I won't do that. Look at verse 17. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Think God takes this seriously? By the way, Jesus quoted this verse in the New Testament and the Gospels. I've heard children and teenagers curse at their parents. I hate you! Cuss them. Say vile things to them. Let's go to Leviticus 19. Leviticus 19. And verse 3. Leviticus 19, verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. You see that? You shall fear. The average kid doesn't fear anything. He doesn't fear his parents. He doesn't fear chastisement. He doesn't fear the teacher. He doesn't fear the policeman. He doesn't fear the prison. He doesn't fear anything. Where does it start when children are not taught to have a proper fear for their parents? Look at chapter 20, verse 9. Chapter 20, verse 9. For everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother. His blood shall be upon him. Now, you say, this is Old Testament law. I understand. We don't take people out and stone them to death. But the point that what you ought to see in this is the spirit of this law, that God takes it very seriously when people dishonor their parents by cursing at them and striking at them and hurting them. Deuteronomy 27:16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Let's go to Proverbs. There's several verses I want to see here. Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19:26. All right, if you're there, say amen. All right, now I know you can say it. Amen. Feel free to say it during preaching. Verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Now listen, I have seen fathers waste away because they're so brokenhearted about the way their kids turned out. Think of a man right now. I can picture him in my mind's eye. His kids are all older than my kids, and they're all out of church. And I tell you, he has aged twice as fast as he should have because he's so sorrowful about his prodigal children, wasting his father, chasing away his mother. Look at Proverbs 23, verse 22. 23, 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. How are you going to treat your mother when she's old? When she can't get around and take care of herself anymore? How are you going to treat your mother? Are you going to despise her when she's old? Look at 28:24. Proverbs 28:24. 28:24. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother, and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. I've known people that have robbed from their mothers and fathers. In my household, growing up, my brother did buy his drugs, would steal from me and steal from my parents all the time. And I've known others, when their parents got old, the children took over bank accounts, sometimes not even the children, but relatives took over bank accounts and bled them dry and left them high and dry, robbing fathers and mothers. One last verse, Proverbs 30, verse 17. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it. I read this as a true story. It's a long time ago, but it's a true story. I read this in an old commentary. But a little boy who ended up being a preacher and told the story on himself, when he was a little boy, he was disrespectful to his mother. And his mother wagged her finger in his face and she quoted to him this verse about the ravens eating his eyeballs out. And he left the house and went out in the front yard and gone about 20 yards when a raven landed on the tree over his head and went, caw, caw. And the little boy ran back to the house covering his face and, my eyes, my eyes. He was afraid that raven had come to pick out his eyeballs because he'd been disrespectful to his mother. Think maybe God sent that raven by? You see, the obligation placed upon us is to honor our parents. Now, there is a distinction in Scripture concerning age and status. Children who are still in their parents' homes are to obey their parents. When we grow up and are no longer obligated to obey, we are still obligated to honor them for the rest of our lives. I didn't say the rest of their lives, I said the rest of your life. Now, Paul emphasized this in Ephesians 6 when he says, children what? I know all you kids know this verse. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment. Children are to obey their parents. God says it's the right thing to do to obey your parents unless they tell you something that you would have to do that would not be of the Lord. Like something immoral, something wrong, something illegal. And there are parents who actually try to get their kids. It was a man that I had met one time that told me back during Prohibition his father made an overcoat for this little boy to wear, and the inside of the overcoat had special pockets for bottles of beer. And he would go around and used his son so the cops wouldn't see what he was doing, and he used his son to carry around the bottles of beer and whiskey and rot gut that he was selling. And so sometimes parents abuse their authority and bring their children into things they ought not be involved in. But kids ought to obey their parents in the Lord. Obey them obediently, immediately, completely, and with a right attitude. Do what you're told or it's disobedience. Do it when you're told or it's disobedience. Do it with the right attitude or it's disobedience. Do it the first time you're told without talking back, or it's disobedience. Amen. If parents don't expect it and demand it and hold the child accountable for it, they're teaching the child how to disobey instead of how to obey themselves and God. Sit there and argue with the child. Do something. I said do something. I said, do you want to get a spanking? You ought to cut that out of your vocabulary. I never ask my child, do you want a spanking? I tell you to do something the first time. You don't talk back. You do it. Amen. That child, if the child learns to talk back all the time, that is going to be a bad habit for the rest of his life. Do what you're told. Now, first time. I'm not arguing with you. Don't make me tell you a second time. Or you'll grow up and you'll be like Jonah and God has to put you in a whale belly to finally get you to obey. I told you the first time. Told you the second time. I expect obedience. I am the parent. My wife is the parent. It's always been that way. Always will be that way. And in our household, it will always be me and her against you. That's how it is. You don't play me against her. You don't treat me with respect and disrespect her, and you don't respect her and disrespect me. It's not how it works. But parents have to have enough courage to stand up to their children and make them obey. They are under obligation as long as they are children. Now, how long is that? Here's the thing, it's getting longer and longer. I was reading something the other day that how many 20-year-olds, I mean, upper 20s and 30-year-olds are still living with their parents. I just got to think to myself, I bet those parents are tired. Everyone knows this. What is the age of majority in America? Age of majority. 18. Becky knows that because she keeps reminding me that she turns 18 next year. I tell her it doesn't matter because she hadn't graduated high school yet. At 18. And I've always felt like in my own mind and heart that I have 18 years to train up my children, and I don't think it shouldn't take me 30 to do it. I want them to grow up and get out and live their lives. That's so hard and mean. Why? Why is it that way? Because I want my kids to enjoy what God has for them, to grow up and have an adult life, not just be children forever. America's going crazy, folks. It's going crazy. Children are under obligation as long as they're children. I submit to you that as long as you're still living at home, you have to obey. You put your feet under my table, eat my food, you got to obey. If you don't like that, move out when you're 18. I don't want you to unless you're going to Bible college. But, I mean, if you're living in someone's home and eating their food and still expect them to provide for you like a parent, then you're still a child. Now, things change when you leave your father and mother, especially if you get married and start your own family. Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. As I've said many times, many marriages are hurt because one or both spouses haven't really cut the apron strings. And because sometimes parents can be very controlling and don't want to give up their control when their kids have moved out, meddling and interfering. But there never comes a time when we are not to honor our parents, nor should we ever hinder our spouses from honoring their parents. Did y'all hear that last point? Now, when my wife and I first got married, my in-laws didn't like me. I know you find that hard to believe. They didn't like that she was marrying some guy who's going to be a preacher. They didn't like that we were fundamental Baptists. They weren't really in the picture because her parents had divorced and she was on her own already anyway, but they didn't like me at first. Now, my charming personality won them over about 6 months ago. Well, they didn't like me at first, but after a few grandkids come along and they see that they're not living in a women's shelter somewhere, alright, maybe James isn't so bad after all. And to be honest, it took me a while to really start to like them too. But you know what? I did like them. I do like them. I do pray for them. And when my wife wants to get with her family, it's okay. When her mother lived over here and she was doing all these other things, had to drive over there to take care of her sometimes, that was fine because that's her mother and she has an obligation to honor her mother. And sometimes when her family comes into town and they want to get together, I am like party depressor to them. As soon as I leave the room, it's, ah, hey, everyone! And I come back in the room, it's like, so sometimes I just back out of the picture. I got things to do. Y'all have fun. But I want my wife to be able to honor her parents. We should never hinder our spouses from honoring their parents because it is a moral obligation upon them. Well, I probably told you too much about myself, so let me move on. Number two, what is the promise given with this commandment? Paul said this is the first commandment with promise. God says a prolonged and good life. You want to live long? Honor your parents. You want to have a good life? Honor your parents. Let me give you some practical reasons why that's so. Well, by honoring our parents, we escape a good deal of sin and hurt. See, most parents, even parents who are not Christians, they really do want what's best for their kids. Even though sometimes they're hypocritical and they know they don't really live the way they're telling their kids to live, they still know that's probably best for their kids and they don't want their kids involved like they have been. And a lot of times children ignore the advice of their parents, the rules of their parents, and even godly parents, and end up hurting themselves because they dishonor their parents. Samson's that example. We won't take the time to go over there, but Samson was an only child. He was a miracle baby, and he was a little spoiled. You can see that when he's a young adult. And one day he goes down with the Philistines, sees some good-looking woman over there, and he goes back to his parents and says, I've seen a woman I like. Go get her for me. That's what he said. Go get her for me. And his godly Jewish parents said, son, isn't there a Jewish girl around here? We got plenty of dark-haired, dark-eyed Jewish girls around here that make a good wife. Why don't you pick one of them instead of one of those Philistine women that worships a fish god? Oh, no. Get her for me. Get her for me. Get her for me. I can just see him falling down. I want that woman now. Okay. Stop, Samson. And that marriage ended up in violence and death and destruction. Do you know how many adults are out there saying, I wish I'd listened to my mama, I wish I'd listened to my daddy, it would have saved me a lot of heartache? So when we dishonor our parents, we end up hurting ourselves. And then by honoring our parents, we preserve a very important relationship in life. Now many want the blessings of family togetherness and time at the holidays and nice conversations, but They don't want to honor their parents and preserve the relationship that God gave them from the first. Honor your parents and preserve that relationship, because one day they will be gone and you may wish you had spent more time and been a little more humble, and that you'd swallowed your pride and bit your tongue a little more often, that you might have had more of a relationship with your parents. It's sad today that kids don't want to be around older folks. They only want to hang around people their own age, their own peers. Let me tell you something, that's a shallow person that can only be around people within 3 years of their own age. You ought to spend time with your parents. You ought to spend time with your grandparents. You ought to spend time with older people and younger people. And not just get stuck in one little shallow age demographic, and that's the only people you can hang around. Don't let your kids say, I don't want to go to grandma and grandpa's. They're boring. No, you go over there and you be a blessing to your grandma and grandpa, and you sit there and listen to their stories, and you follow them around, and you sit down at the dinner table with them, and you learn how to be around with older people, because one day your grandparents will be gone. And your parents will be gone. And you say, oh, I wish I spent a little more time. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my grandparents were all 1,000 miles away. We were stationed in Virginia for most of my childhood. My grandparents were in Florida and Texas. Every couple of years, I'd see them for a few days. Hard to build relationships like that. And then we moved to Texas, and I was able to spend a little more time with my grandpa and grandma. And I tell you, those are precious memories I have of my grandparents and the years I got to spend with my grandpa before he finally died at age 82. So I'm saying that you ought to preserve those relationships, not be a shallow person, but learn it's not all about us. Sometimes we just need to go be a blessing to our elders, whether we think it's fun or not fun. Amen. That's good preaching, whether we like it or not. By honoring our parents, we set an example for our own kids to follow. But surely we will reap what we sow. And many parents, they're complaining about how their kids treat them. When if they go back another 20 years, they'll find exactly that's how they treated their parents. And they're simply reaping what they sow. Well, let me hurry on through the rest of my message. Number four, what are some ways to honor your parents? I'll give you a list of ways you can honor your parents. Number one, honor them in your heart. Now, some kids never say anything about their parents, but in their hearts they despise them. In their hearts, they have a terrible attitude toward their parents. And that's wrong. You ought to honor them in your heart. And then number two, you ought to appreciate what they've done for you. Now, my parents haven't done much for me. Well, base bottom line, they didn't abort you. But how many of us really had it that bad? Most of us got treated pretty well by our parents. I know I did. And I appreciate the sacrifices they made for me. I think you ought to do the same. How about seeking their advice and counsel? You say, I don't have to seek it out. They give it to whether I want it or not. Well, you know what? It's hard when you're a parent to suddenly no longer be involved in your child's life. It wouldn't hurt us sometimes just to seek out their advice or counsel, even if you already know what you're going to do, just so they feel like they're part of things. How about spending time with them regularly? Making contact. Initiate contact. Now, here's something younger people need to understand. Most older people, maybe it's from just another generation, maybe it's just how it always is, most older people expect the younger to call them. They're not always going to call the younger. In my family, my parents almost never call me. If my dad calls me, it's something going on. Now, they want me to call them, but here's what they say. Well, you always seem so busy. We don't want to call and interrupt. Well, that's true. So I initiate contact with them. When I get out of church tonight, on the way home, I'll do two things. Number one, I'll stop at Racetrack and fill up with Soda Palooza. Isn't that a blessing? I got free soda till the end of the summer, thanks to my lovely wife, who bought me a Soda Palooza cup. And on the way home, with my Diet Coke in the cup holder, I'll call my dad. Sometimes I'll call my mom. Usually I call my dad because my dad gets real lonely when I don't call him. And I'll call my dad and talk to him. And I was talking to someone recently. They said, he said, it's been like 30 years since his dad died. Maybe the numbers are not wrong, but he said, I sure do miss him. I said, you know, I dread the day when I walk out of church and I pick up my cell phone and I realize I don't have him to call anymore. So initiate contact. And then speak to them respectfully, even if you disagree. Sometimes you ought to just bite your tongue. If you disagree on politics, then find something else to talk about. People get all angry about politics. Why do you want to bring anger into the relationship? I don't want to argue about politics. I have my opinions, and they're very strong, but I don't want to argue with you about them. I just want us to get along. When I'm with my family, that's how I feel as well. Although my family is in agreement with me, because they're smart. You ought to speak to them respectfully, even if you disagree. You ought to listen to them. They might have something to say. You ought to accommodate them. People get older, they can't do as much as they used to, and sometimes they need more help. For example, when I call my dad, I have to talk loudly. I don't like to talk loudly. I'm a soft-spoken person, except when I'm preaching. And many times, I'll say something, he'll say, huh? And I have to repeat it. I hate repeating myself. I do. I just hate it. I hate repeating myself. I hate repeating myself. I hate repeating myself. Oh, my dad can't hear me. I know he's got his volume up, but he can't hear me. So I don't say, never mind, Dad, you can't hear me. I'm tired of trying to talk to you like this. No, I say it again. I accommodate because I love my dad. He can't help it if he can't hear me sometimes over a cell phone. But sometimes people get very impatient with their elders. And they get angry about stuff. And there's no reason for that when you ought to accommodate. And understand one day you're going to be the one that's going to be saying, huh? Or have to be helped in those ways. Speak well of them to others. Live a life that brings honor instead of heartache. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. About this, respect their homes and their schedule. Sometimes we get on to in-laws dropping in and taking up the time of young families, but how about this? How about young families always dropping in on their parents and not respecting their schedule or privacy? You know, I look forward. People think this is hard, but I don't dread the emptiness. I don't think I do. Man, I'm going to be 45 years old. Roughly, 46. Mrs. Rasburn and I are going to go do stuff. Oh, preacher, that's terrible. Hey, brother, let me tell you something. You have your children in your home for a certain amount of time, but your marriage is for life. And I'm looking forward to it. In fact, hurry up. I'm just kidding. I'm not quite that hard-hearted, but you got to respect their homes, respect their schedule, respect their financial situation, and don't constantly run to them to bail you out of stuff. Many adults are constantly running home for loans or handouts, which they never pay back, and they take advantage of their parents. How about this? Next time you're with your parents, why don't you offer to pick up the tab? Wednesday night, me and my dad and Joe and Brother Ogdy went out to dinner because we were stranded. And we were walking into Rosa's Cafe, and I said, I got it. Dad said, really? Yeah, we'll do that sometime. You know what? He didn't even argue with me. Could have at least argued with me. But he didn't. But I, you know, pick up the tabs and respect their financial situation. Pray for them regularly. Respect their values and standards. Now, I know kids, I think of a couple of families right now. I think of one where the daughter ran away from home, got pregnant. Now the child spends more time with the parents, grandparents than the parents, I think. And had to go out and get herself tattooed up. Preacher's daughter. Covered with tattoos, got big ones on her shoulders. So anytime she goes to church with them, what does she have to do? Wear something sleeveless. So she can show off her tattoo and embarrass her parents. Now, if I felt like it was okay to get a tattoo, but my parents thought they were disgusting, you know what? And I had it on my shoulder. You know what I do when I went to see my parents? I'd put a t-shirt over it. I wouldn't flaunt it in their face. Amen. I know a preacher, his wife doesn't wear pants. Daughters grew up that way. They rebelled, of course. Got out of church. Every time they come to a Mother's Day banquet or a church activity, when they come, which is not often, they come in their blue jeans. Would it kill them to put a skirt on? They're only come for that occasion. Would it kill them to be a little respectful to their mother and at least put a skirt on? No. Do they? No. Flaunt it. Embarrass them. You know what? We ought to respect the values and standards of our parents, not be an intentional embarrassment to them. Well, how about the big one, and that is in old age, pay them back, especially widows. Take care of them in their old age. Paul said that was, to not do so is be an infidel. Now that may mean them moving into your house, or that may mean you paying, or you and your siblings paying for assisted living. I don't think it's a sin to have assisted living. Sometimes that's the best situation. I don't know. Every one of those situations is unique. Every one of them. But I do know this, the responsibility of that falls on the child, not the government or the church. And children ought to say, you know what? We're going to make sure that when our parents are old, whatever they need, we're going to make sure that they're taken care of. They take care of us when we couldn't take care of them. Now the question comes up, how should I honor a parent who's not honorable? Why should I honor a parent who's not honorable? Well, the answer to why is because God said to. There's no asterisk with a footnote on the fifth commandment. The how is more complicated. We live in a sick world where men abuse their children mentally, physically, sexually, emotionally. And there is no reason why a child should be left in a position where they're being abused. Nor is any reason why that a grown child should embarrass their, or endanger their own children with that parent. So sometimes it is necessary for there to be a separation. But is it still possible to practice forgiveness while being separated? Yes. Is it still possible to say, you know what? I can't change who my parents are, but I'm going to live the best life I can live, and I'm going to honor them by living a good life myself? Yes. And that's what I would do. I'll be done in 2 minutes. What applications can we make? First, parents should demand, instill, and expect obedience from their children. Proverbs 23 says, "Thou shalt beat him with the rod and save his soul from hell." We know beat doesn't mean to beat like with a baseball bat, but to spank that child and discipline that child, and you'll save his soul from hell. Because if a child doesn't learn obedience, respect, and consequences when he's a child, try to find repentance in a spoiled brat's heart. Try to find it there. Now, kids are going to be kids, and that's why parents have to be parents. Y'all remember the TV show I never watched, but I heard about Super Nanny? Back in the early 2000s, Super Nanny. The parents are so out of control, we've got to bring in a British nanny, to put things in order. How crazy is that? Parents should be able to take care of their own children. Correct them. A policeman told me that he got a call to a house with a 15-year-old boy, and the mom said, "Can't you talk to him and straighten him out?" She expected him to do in 15 minutes what she had not done in 15 years. It's our job to straighten out our own children, and the earlier the better. Secondly, parents should show each other appropriate honor. Don't mistreat each other in front of the kids and treat each other like dirt and call each other names and treat each other with disrespect and expect the kids to treat both of you with respect. You've got to show respect and honor for each other. And then thirdly, parents should be honorable. It's up to us to live respectably. Double standards confuse and then cause resentment. Hypocritical living, broken promises, laziness, lying, all cause kids to harbor anger. And when those parents go to church and they're hypocrites at home or bad parents at home, the kids learn resentment for the church and they learn resentment for God because they associate their parents with Christianity. How important it is for us to be honorable. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee.